Buddies, we are so excited today to bring you a very special episode of When Calls the Hallmarkies. We are the Hallmarkies podcast, and we're talking about the latest When Calls the Heart movie, The Greatest Christmas Wish. And this is going to be so much fun. I'm Rachel, and Amber's here.
Good morning, everybody, or yes. Afternoon or evening, whenever you listen.
That's right. And we have a special guest today. We have Caroline Richardson, hardcore Hardy fan, is here to talk to us about it.
Good morning, afternoon, evening.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming out talking.
Thanks for asking me.
Yeah, we hope you all had a wonderful Christmas. It's so great for Hardys because they not only get Christmas, but they also get their When Calls the Heart movie. It's just a multitude of blessings.
True.
Yeah. Caroline, we all know that the Hardys were very traumatized by the events of last season.
Yes.
As a hardcore fan, how did you absorb it all? How did you feel about how they handled everything with Jack and all of that?
I was shocked at first, like he was leaving, but then I respected his decision because he's an actor, so he can do whatever he wants to do. But I was kind of shocked about how some of the other Hardys took it.
Mm-hmm.
They took it as a real person dying, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's just Dan wanted to leave, and I respect his decision.
Yeah. Well, but how did you feel about as far as the plot and the finale? How did you feel about how they handled it?
I thought it was handled good. I loved the episode and how Elizabeth grieved and at the end, the baby. But I like how they handled it.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, I didn't love how they handled it. I liked the finale actually, but just the whole death thing. I think they could have done it better, but it's going to be really interesting. And so let's just start out of the gate. Amber, how did you feel about this movie and particularly how it kind of jumped off of what we got in the finale?
I think the thing that I really liked about this is that it didn't spend a lot of time grieving. I feel like we were able to get through the grieving process in that last episode of the regular season. And it allowed us to go forward with hope, which I think is a big emphasis in When Calls the Heart. And I think they actually did a really great job of transitioning from what the show was while still respecting, the memory of Jack, bringing us toward the future of what When Calls the Heart's going to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you. I thought they did a really nice job of not just throwing it aside and it be nothing, because that wouldn't have been good if they were just completely moving on. But obviously Elizabeth still, not being able to set up the room and her bringing in the picture. We'll talk about all of this, but there was enough that it was, I thought, very sweet. And I thought they did a very good job kind of bridging that gap. Would you agree, Caroline?
I think so. I thought it was handled well. You could still see she missed him, but while excited about the baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Would you overall say the movie was a success, Amber? Did you enjoy it or?
Yeah, I really did. I'm still left with some questions.
Mm-hmm.
As captain of Team Henrygale, they yes. didn't even talk to each other, so I was disappointed.
That's true. I didn't think
But on all other fronts, I was very satisfied with what they decided to do for this Christmas episode. But to be fair, I feel like I've loved every single Christmas movie. They know how to do a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Caroline, what do you think about the movie as a whole?
I loved it. I thought it was my favorite Christmas movie of When Calls the Heart yet.
I still love the one with Santa and the toys best, but that's,
Yeah.
Because I'm
that
a banana.
Was a good one too.
I don't even remember what that one was called, but it was the best.
Yeah. I really liked this a lot. And there's a lot of things. It has been a while since I saw that one with the Santa. And
I mean, like, he wasn't Santa, but he was like wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Yeah, yeah. And that one was really good. But I think there's a lot of factors that I was very high on it. Cause I would say I'm a casual fan of When Calls the Heart. And so I was surprised at how much I loved it. And I think part of that is just that it did feel like a little bit, I think, more polished than some of the movies we've been getting lately. And also, I just really responded to the themes, and I just thought it was so well executed. And I don't know, I was surprised how much I really liked it. I was like, wow, I never thought that the When Calls the Heart movie would end up in my top 10 countdown for Christmas, but it definitely will. So yeah, that was a surprise for me. So I had high expectations because we have liked all the Christmas movies, but then I had low expectations for some reason, and I don't know why. Maybe it's just that I wasn't thrilled about the execution of some of the things last season. So who knows? But I really liked it. I thought it was really, really cute and really sweet and had a really nice message. So let's talk about some of the elements. So right off the bat, we get our kind of silly plot element of Bill trying to make this pudding, the figgy pudding with no figs, but the recipe is a date pudding, I guess. But the only thing that kind of made me laugh about all of this is that this would be so expensive. all of these fails that he has, because like spices and stuff were very expensive back. I mean, they still are expensive back then. But I'm like, man, all these dried fruits and all this stuff. I'm like, woo, Bill. But it was kind of fun. I mean, in the world of Bill subplots, who's Caroline, he's not our favorite character.
He's not mine either. No,
yeah. This was pretty fun. Like, have him making more pie, more food. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Have you ever had, Amber, a pudding like that?
No. And I'm not like Captain Pudding. I mean, you know, give me a custard any day and I'll be like, yeah, that's delicious. But like pudding, a little, and plus that wasn't like, that was like British pudding, which is like soggy bread. I don't know. Basically, my long answer is no.
You have to like dried fruit. And that's, I feel like that was kind of a little bit of a thing of the past, a little bit. Like things like, I feel like we don't like
the only reason why people back then liked dry fruit was because that was all they could do. Like they didn't have, you know.
Yeah. It was a different palate.
The food options we have.
Yeah. And also since neither of us drink alcohol, and that was a big part of that kind of pudding, for lack of a word, it's sort of like that was a lot of the appeal of things like fruitcake and stuff like that, is they would have them very alcohol, very boozy back in the day. So anyway, it's kind of funny. But like I said, I'd rather have Bill be having cooking shenanigans than some of the other stuff. So
I mean, it's like, keep Bill in the kitchen and away from stealing orphans from their siblings.
Right, exactly. Exactly. So the wishing tree was still a thing as they carried over, which was kind of interesting.
I appreciated that. I don't know if you know this, but I'm like a huge fan of continuity. It's like my favorite thing in the whole world. Part of the reason why I like the Marvel movies, because they have some continuity.
Right.
But I was like, yay for the wishing tree. Yeah. Can we get back the rest of the traditions too? I hope
always. And I feel like they put money into this more so than last year's special. I mean, we talked about the wigs last year, but it was certainly better this year as far as hair, makeup, costumes, all that stuff. Would you agree?
I did have a question. I feel like one of the orphan ladies, what would those be called?
caretakers, maybe?
Okay, yeah, sure. They, I feel like one of them was wearing the coat that Florence found the note in or something. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. The red one or?
The like, sort of, yeah, like red salmon-y coat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that happened. Am I crazy? Maybe. Well, at me in the comments, no. People. Tell me if that's the same coat.
That is a poll. If that's true, you are a genius. Wow. Very good. I believe it. That's funny.
They probably I'll have to watch it again to see.
Yeah, they're probably like, nobody will ever recognize the coat from like 3 seasons ago. That's really funny. Very good. So they're doing this big feast. The whole town is there for the feast. And it's kind of like a potluck. Is that right?
Yeah. It's a potluck, except for Abigail's like in charge of making sure everyone brings things. And yeah. I just want to be, Abigail, chill out. It's fine if there is like beef stew.
Right. I like beef stew. Like,
as long as people get enough food to eat, that's the only thing.
Yeah. I mean, and she's going to make this roast, but I mean, it was pretty small and there were many tables. So I get it. That's a potluck, but I feel like her concern is she's a little overly concerned about this roast. So this was quite the feast. I mean, I wanted to go to that party. That looked fun.
Yeah,
you look beautiful. And
yes, Andrea Brooks did a great job decorating.
Oh yeah,
true.
Yeah, Faith. She learned from Carson.
Faith actually did the decorating.
She learned from Carson's party.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Carson's
party. She did play in it.
Yeah, we all forgot after it was rudely interrupted by the Mountie on the horse.
Oh gosh.
So then we get these sisters, Lillian and Grace, and the orphan with all these orphans. There were 8, 7, something like that. Orphans, and their wagon has broken. And were you immediately either, did you warm up to them immediately, or were you kind of suspicious of them? What do you think, Caroline?
At first I was kind of like iffy about why they came to Hope Valley, but the kids were super cute, so that won me over.
I was immediately on board with the orphans.
Okay. Yeah.
And I also had no doubt that those ladies had good intentions, so I was fine with them.
Mm-hmm.
But like, give me those orphans every day.
They're so cute.
Please don't let them move to Wherever-ville town. I want to keep them.
Yeah. I would be more than happy if they set up a Hope Valley orphanage.
Yes.
A branch or whatever there, because they were really cute. They did a great job, and I loved every time those kids sang. They were good children's choir.
I just don't understand. Like, I was a little confused sometimes why they were just singing. I mean, I'm sure it was actually just like a technique to keep them from running around and misbehaving.
Uh-huh.
But I was a little bit like, why are they singing?
That's true, but it just made it so
Christmassy. It was very Christmassy. Yes.
Yeah.
But as like, outside of being a Christmas show, I was like, would all of those like 12-year-old boys really be that into this?
That's fair. That's fair.
That is true.
There was something though that I figured, because they were so sweet, they were actually going to be so sweet in real life, but there was something I knew that they were hiding something, obviously. And there was something about them I didn't quite 100% trust. But I knew that it was all they had good intentions somehow. That they did a good job with that. And so, you know, you're kind of the mystery, you're diving in to find out what happened. And of course, Bill is very suspicious of them. Because did they ever explain why they truly took the scenic route?
I don't think they did.
They went to go try to get Millie, which was on the way. So that's why there was like the detour.
But they didn't.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Oh, she was in the...
Well, no, but they went to the orphanage, which was a different orphanage.
Well, yeah, but didn't he say that, oh, you still took the scenic route in to get from where they had picked it? Because they picked up her sister legally
there. At a different place.
Yeah, and so he was like, why did you go from here to...
Yeah. And then after they picked up the sister, they went to this other place with the wicked Miss McCutcheon.
No, the sister was there in McCutcheon.
No, they were in different orphanages.
Two different ones. Yeah.
That was the whole thing, because they had been separated. Ever since they'd been separated, she stopped talking.
Oh, you're right. Sorry.
I'm right.
I haven't watched it twice, and I've just seen too many Christmas movies.
38.
like a billion.
Yeah, no, you're right.
She didn't even just watch Hallmark Channel. Like, Rachel's done too many.
It's true.
You need a Christmas detox?
Yes. I think so. Watch a bunch of Halloween movies that in January. Yeah, you're right. But they decide to go through Hope Valley because they think they'll be they'll be able to slip through easier, or because they're trying to get to where they're going to set up the orphanage, right?
Mm-hmm. In the other town. I can't remember the name of it, though.
Yeah, and didn't she say, oh, we took the scenic route to get there?
Yeah, because they were avoiding trying to say anything about Millie.
Right. So Bill is very suspicious of them from the start, and he starts his little researching.
Bill is just the worst. I'm sorry. He is. He's like, yeah, these ladies with all these orphans, these smell like trouble. who does this?
Yeah, I mean, especially if you're talking about, like, let them, like, eat their Christmas dinner, like, let them have their day, you know. I don't know, it's funny. I mean, I guess eventually he does, like, pretend, oh, I missed my train, but, you know, some of these adults in this world need to just, like, take a pause, Bill. I don't know.
They just wanted to be together. Let them be together. Come on.
Yeah, for one day.
Yeah.
So another plot line that we had going on of this episode, they really did cram a lot into this movie. They did a lot. But we had Jesse and Clara going to the Nutcracker and the whole town finding a way to get Jesse into a tux.
That was a cute little storyline, I think.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Amber?
I loved it.
Yeah.
Any more Lee, please? Yeah. Or as Rachel would say, Leland.
Yeah.
And I really like Jesse now, and I didn't, and I think it's because he cut his hair.
I was team short hair too.
Yeah. I kind of forget that they're not married. It feels like they're married, and so hopefully they will get married this season. But it was a fun little diversion to have, you know, his piecemeal kind of suit, you know, pants from one person and suit coat from another, and that was fun.
And all the other men trying to help, that was cute.
Yeah, it was. It was cute. And I really liked Clara's dress at the end. It was very, I mean, they only showed up for just a little bit, but I thought it was cool. I thought it was fun. And she looked pretty. And that was, it was just a fun little story. Go into the Nutcracker. I really wanted to get to the Nutcracker this year. They have a great one here in Salt Lake, but I just ran out of time, watched too many Christmas movies. But it is a really fun experience to get to see. But it sounds like it was quite the swanky affair there in Canada and the world of the Hardys. So that was cute. And then we get the cutest thing to ever exist, little Millie asking Henry Gowan to read her book.
Girl, she's the cutest.
I know, I could eat her up.
Yeah, the little actress's name was Audrey Wise Alvarez, and she was adorable.
Yeah.
She just, if you don't love her, you're a crazy person.
Yeah.
And my dog's name is Millie, so I'm already on board on Team Millie.
Oh, very good. Caroline, how do you feel about Henry Gowan? What's your thoughts?
I like Henry. Like, I was Team Henry Gale.
Yeah.
Yes. I just think he needs a redemption story, so why not in season 6?
Do you think that we'll see the orphans again?
I think so. Like, I followed some of like the child actors and stuff, and I thought they were in some of the earlier episodes, but I think we might see them. And yeah, they're doing the spinoff.
The Cassidy. Ooh. I forgot about the spinoff.
Interesting.
Ooh, I forgot about the spinoff.
And it's with the two sisters. So I'm guessing
the spinoff is with the two sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Look at you, Captain Knowledge. Well, that makes sense, because the girl who plays Millie's sister, I think her name was Charlotte, she was she's been in several of these movies, including Lovestruck Cafe.
That's where I'd recognize her from.
So if they are going to, like, have a series with them, that would be fine. Would you be fine if they stole Gowan and brought him over to that other series?
More Gowan. So I'm team, yes.
Interesting.
Huh.
But you need a character that, not that he's like a true antagonist, but for a long time he has kind of been the antagonist. And I feel like, man, this show would be so milquetoast. I mean, it already is a somewhat milquetoast show. This would be such a, like, if you didn't have characters like Gowan, like.
Oof. But don't forget, we want to have your boyfriend be the bad guy in the upcoming series, remember?
Yeah, that's true.
I can't remember if we said Kevin McGarry or the other guy, but both of them can be
Chris Malley. Yeah, that's true. But I doubt that he would become the new villain of When Calls the Heart, and Gowan would go over to the spinoff.
But I want Henry and Abigail to be together, so
I know, me too. It's a complicated thing. Yes.
So both of these women are in the spinoff, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I didn't realize that. Their debut in The Christmas Blessing, ahead of the show's season 6 debut, they will be starring in a whole new project from the people who brought you the Blood Fury drama. See, this is why we had to have Caroline on. Yes, because I had no idea about this. This is amazing. So we definitely will get to see more Millie.
Yeah, sure. I'm on team happiness about this.
Yeah, me too. Thrilled.
It'll be on the Hallmark movies now.
Yeah. Yeah, it will. Good thing I'm already subscribed.
Me too.
Yeah,
too. We'll put a link if you guys want to subscribe. Look forward. When's that going to happen? When's the spinoffs?
They haven't started filming yet, so I don't know.
Yeah, interesting. Okay, cool. Well, good to know. So, but yeah, anytime that Gowan was reading to that little girl, it was so cute. I mean, each time, that probably happened 3 times, maybe three or four.
Three or four.
And each time was just so cute. She just stand there like
that little face, like, oh, yeah. I would read to you.
So, oh my goodness, I was just in hog heaven when she followed him into the, like, whatever office.
Yeah.
And it was a scene of Millie, Gowan, and Hickam.
Yes.
I said, I feel like Brian Bird wrote this episode this far just for me. Like, this was made just for me. This scene was, you're welcome, Amber. Thanks for all your hard work.
You're Hickam Hardy,
Amber. I am. Yes.
I am Team Hickam, too.
I would be also fine if Hickam got his own show, The Adventures of Hickam.
Yes.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. It was just so cute. It was, they did a great job. So,
true story. What I really want is for these new guys to try and woo Elizabeth, and then in like 3 seasons for it to fail, and then for Elizabeth and Hickam to fall in love. But yes. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're on the same wavelength.
Yeah, I'm on board. Yeah, and so you also get the it starts with the school children, our Hope Valley children who we love. They all are putting wishes on the wishing tree, and then sweet little Cody, he tells Abigail that he's, you know, worried about the orphans. He wants to do something to help, and she's like, "Well, why don't you do something to help then?" And so you see Opal getting to know the kids, and her wondering, you know, what could she give? And so they all decide to take all their wishes down from the tree, the kids, and they are just, instead of, you know, serving each other's wishes, they're just going to do one collaborative wish where they make Christmas great for the orphans. So that, in the long line of delightful When Calls the Heart children plot lines, this was very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was really cute. And you know, when you had Opal with Brownie, it was like, oh no, very sweet. But I mean, I felt so stupid that I didn't ask Ava about Brownie when I talked to her, because I got to interview her and she was so adorable.
That was so cute.
How did I forget? Oh, but she was, of course, Opal stole the show. She was adorable.
She's always adorable.
Oh, she's so cute.
I'm not gonna say that I just, so when they were like, make sure you give away something, your favorite something. And I was like, oh.
Opal and Brownie.
I knew it. The minute that Elizabeth was like, maybe you could give away something you really love. And I was like, she's going to give away Brownie. I was so upset. Rachel knows. I sent her a message. I was like, oh no, not Brownie. And then it happened. And it was still beautiful and lovely. But Opal is too cute and too sweet for this world.
Yeah, because he says, you know, make the wishes for the orphans come true. And I was just like, oh no. Yeah, I know. It was just so adorable. There's no other word to describe it. So, okay. So then, yeah, Carson checks out Millie, and she can make sounds, like she laughs, and there's an audible laugh, and so they know that it's psychosomatic, she's not like mute, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Can't talk. Something biological, it's something psychosomatic. Things start to kind of unwind. We do get also, the speaking of Elizabeth, the funny scene with her getting the food at the general store. And he's like, you're getting pickled eggs, pickles, marshmallows. Like, that was funny. He's like, oh, you can need this tonic water on the house.
That was so funny when he did that. Funny.
She's like, you're going to get some major heartburn from all of that. Of course. Yeah. So you think that Elizabeth is adapting to sort of, I don't know, single life as well as can be expected?
I think, yeah, as well as can be expected.
Yeah.
She has Abigail, so.
Yeah. I did like the moment when she's talking to Abigail and she says, you know, it's overwhelming. And then Abigail says, soon the only thing you will be overwhelmed by is how much you love him, which I don't think is probably true. I think she'll probably be overwhelmed by a lot of things, but it was a sweet moment.
Yeah.
But I mean, she didn't say soon and forever. It'll be only that.
Yeah, that's fair, I guess. Yeah. But it was cute. And she finally does admit, after sort of stalling people a couple times, Rosemary comes over with a quilt, and then Flomo comes over, I think it was, with a basket of stuff. She finally admits to Abigail that she doesn't have the baby's room set up because she just can't deal with it. And nor should she like be painting or wallpapering or stuff like that. I mean, as a pregnant woman. And anyway, so then Rosemary and Abigail and the whole team of women come kind of storm the house and make the baby room ready. That was cute.
That was sweet. Like that.
Yeah. It was cute. They should have had a ladder for the wallpaper or something. But other than that, it was perfect.
Yeah, it was really cute. And it was a very sweet moment that she brought in Jack's picture.
I know, that made me get teary eyed. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cute. That's why I thought they did a good job, just those sort of little moments. It wasn't heavy-handed. It was just like a little sweet moment to Jack, and then at the end also with her just talking to the baby and talking about Jack, and it was cute. I think they did a good job with that, because it was a tricky balance. I think they had to work around for this movie to do. I feel bad for Rosemary sometimes because nobody ever wants to eat any of her food. Like, it seems like Leland's always like, I gotta go
that is office.
Like, you can't sit down for like 10
but
minutes.
Isn't Rosemary like a really great cook too?
That's what I think.
But at least in season 2 she was.
Yeah, she made, I think she was even, at one point said that she was trained under some kind of chef for, you know, in New York. She makes pancakes, and nobody wants her pancakes, and she finally gets the girls, and I loved when they came down in her dresses, the little girls.
That was so cute, yeah.
And she's like, oh, you've worn your Christmas past, present, and future. That's cute. Mm. I like that. Like a good Christmas Carol reference. In my one called the heart. I find out that Millie is a kind of a bonus child. They should not have Millie. They didn't mean to steal her, kidnap her, whatever you want to call it. That it was the sister, I forget her name.
Charlotte
had stowed her on board the wagon. Did you buy this whole thing, this whole story, Amber?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, okay.
Because they knew that if they stole her, they would lose the chance to have her and probably the rest of the orphans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where did she was hiding on the wagon? Do you remember? Just somewhere?
Underneath something. And when they were
just under blankets or something.
When the wagon wheel broke, that's when they found her.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, and then once they had her, then it's like, what do you do next? And so they were just trying to be as positive. You know, she says, we are not lawbreakers. And they had, because they had gone through all of the process to get Millie, and they had all the paperwork and the other stuff. But this Miss McCutcheon, who ran the orphanage over for Millie, didn't want to sign her over. Because she feels like that she needs to teach her sign language because she doesn't speak, and that's more important than having her with her sister. And so I don't know. What did you think about that, Amber?
I was like, baloney, old lady. I was so frustrated with her.
Yeah.
And also her being like, no, we have to go immediately.
Yeah.
I was like, you're the worst. Go away. I can't wait for them to defeat you. Oh, I disliked her so strongly.
Like, I get her point about wanting to be more practical. Like, she has to teach them sign language. These ladies don't know sign language. But I don't understand why, certainly, when she's like, we have to leave before we eat dinner, is ridiculous.
Yeah. One Christmas. Let them have one Christmas.
Yeah, I mean, because she's like, oh, it'll be harder to leave after. And I'm like, in theory, I guess I can see that sometimes being the case, that like, oh, if you have, that it'll be harder to leave, but not when literally you're like creating trauma, like taking her away, like when she sees the dinner, like it's there, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like it's even that morning before she's seen it, like she's seen it. So to take her away at that point is literally like inflicting trauma. And it's ridiculous. That was completely ridiculous. And there's no reason why, if the whole point is, well, we have to treat these kids realistically, and so we have to get her the sign language that she needs, what is stopping these other women with her sister getting her sign language? Like, surely there's other people besides this one person. Like, I mean, I guess I just don't understand why she couldn't be like, well, just make sure you get her sign language up there.
I know.
Wherever you're going. I don't know. It was
weird. The worst.
She's not the only human being in the world who knows sign language.
I did not love her.
Yeah, she was not my favorite.
No, she was something else. I mean, I would think that most orphanage ladies, I don't know what you call them, headmistress, I don't know what you call them, I would think that most of those women would be glad to have one less mouth to feed, to be frank at that time. But,
and to reunite sisters, I mean, golly, you have to have a cold heart not to want that.
Yeah, and be like, I'm taking you away from your sister on Christmas. What's wrong with you? It's like those are the kind of people who don't have room in the inn, you know? Abigail and Elizabeth and Rosemary go to the neighboring town. I forget the name. And
Benson Hills.
Yes. Benson Hills, is that it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Benson Hills, very good. And the reason why is that Elizabeth is going to get a stroller there, and Abigail has to get a new roast because she burned the roast.
So funny.
Yeah. It was totally, totally unedible. And she gets there and there's no roast. All the meat is gone. I guess nobody has any animals to like slaughter in Hope Valley. But
that would require them killing something, and they don't do that.
Yeah, I guess not, huh? Yeah, you have to get all your meat from the butchers. There's no one who has chickens or cow or whatever. But anywhere, pig. But they end up getting a Christmas salami.
That was so funny.
What do you think? Do you think, Amber, you could have a Christmas salami meal?
I mean, I don't like salami, so I don't know why making it Christmas would make me more excited about that.
Oh, yeah. I like salami, but
I would be like, a Christmas pepperoni? Sure, let's do this.
I mean, salami is just basically larger pepperoni, don't you think? It's just,
yeah,
I don't think it's, but I've only ever had it in thin, you know, very thin. I've never had it like as a steak or something. So this would be quite the meal, the Christmas salami.
Christmas salami.
But I think Abigail, with her, you know, her mastery in the kitchen, could make a good Christmas salami meal, I guess. But it was funny. And why was Rosemary going? Just to help Elizabeth?
I think we had to drive the car, I think.
Oh, drive the car. And they took Henry Gowan's car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was bigger.
Yeah. So, anyway, okay. So, then they're driving home.
Am I the only person who was like, when did Henry Gowan get a car?
I was kind of wondering that myself. Like, he was totally on, barely making by last we saw him.
In a big car, too.
Yeah, so, like, he lost all of his money, but he still maintained his assets, including his car? I don't know. whatever.
I guess. Or maybe he regained more assets.
Maybe it's a company car. Let's say this. Maybe it's a company car. And since he's employed by Lee, like, it's so he can do business with the company. Yes. And so then that's why he has a big car and why Rosalie could just take it.
Maybe. I don't know. I was surprised by that, too. I'm like, oh, Henry Gowan. Like, Henry Gowan, is he, like, is he basically redeemed at this point? I mean, does it get more redeemed than reading books to children and letting pregnant women use your car? And, like, I mean, he was pretty great this episode.
He's pretty great every episode, Rachel.
But, I mean, you know what I'm saying, right? Like,
they call him Henry. They don't call him Gowan anymore, so.
Yeah, is he fully,
Yeah, oh, I mean, and Jack Wagner's character didn't even try to punch him in the face once this whole episode.
Yeah, I know.
True.
Yeah, very, very interesting. So, were you surprised that they didn't have either of the new leads at all in this?
No.
Let's save that for the thing. Okay.
Just as contract stuff, it makes sense for them to not.
Yeah. So,
I don't think other people could handle another Mountie, like, right off the bat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, kind of ease people into back into Hope Valley. Yeah. So then you have Elizabeth and Abigail and Rosemary driving home. They hit some bumps. She ends up going into labor, and this is fairly quick labor. This is not one of your, like, 48 hours in labor kind of thing. And so they luckily, Abigail happens to know about a hunting cabin.
I wonder how she did.
What was that?
I wonder, like, how she knew about it, you know?
Yeah, but I wondered about that too. I'm like, wow, Abigail knows about all the
hunting. In my notes, I'm like, how did she know about that? Yeah.
I mean, Abigail just knows. I mean, maybe it's his mayor. She just...
Yeah, that's true. Knows. She is mayor.
She looked at all the property taxes for everyone in the greater Hope Valley area.
But is it Hope Valley that they're in, or is it still Benson Hills or whatever it's called?
I'm guessing it must be Hope Valley because they got to them on horseback very quickly.
That's true.
Very quickly. And so anyway, they find this hunting cabin. And, yeah, it's a very quick labor, which is unusual for your first child to have a very quick labor, but every pregnancy is different. So, she has the baby, and they managed to get that baby clean and looking great.
With snow water.
Yeah, with snow water. It was very impressive.
Abigail can do all things.
Yeah, I mean, they even, you know, kept everything sterile. They did a very good job. Don't even need Carson. Why do they even have Carson?
Abigail.
I'm just going to say, 100%, the best part of the whole episode was they come in and Lee says, you did a great job or something.
Yeah, Lee was so cute with the looking at the baby.
Rosalie says, thank you, Elizabeth did most of the work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, she's my favorite.
But she was just teasing. I love Rosemary.
I don't think she was teasing.
I don't think so either.
She was just teasing. I think she was just teasing.
But she said, oh, you're talking about Elizabeth.
Yeah, Elizabeth did most of the work.
She's so funny. Pascal is the best.
And Rosie's so sweet. These last several seasons, I'm like, oh, I just love her.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I like their relationship personally even better than Jack and Elizabeth. I know that's like blasphemy to say, but I just love them. They're so fun, and yeah, I think she was just teasing, but it doesn't matter. It was super cute, and then the baby, very cute, and we find out, big moment, it's a boy. Yeah. Did you have any doubt that it was going to be a boy?
No, not at all. I'm like, as soon as they said that Elizabeth was pregnant, I'm like, boy, and his name will be
Jack. Did you, Amber, have any doubt?
Any doubt about what?
About whether it was going to be a boy, or were you sure it was going to be a boy?
You know, honestly, if it was going to be a boy, it was going to be named Jack. But they could have had a girl.
I would have loved to have seen her with a girl, though. Like, I was kind of like... either or would have been fun, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if it had been a girl, it would have been fun, and they probably would have called her, like...
Jacqueline or something.
Yeah, and it would have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wouldn't have hated that one bit. I mean, and just... yeah, I don't think I had any real preference on which kind of baby or real thought about what kind of baby it would be.
If Jack was going to still be on the show and stuff, I would have loved to see Jack with a girl more than a boy.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would have been fun. Back, and they have the baby. They announce, oh, she had the baby, yay. And it turns out they decide not to have the feast that they're going to have. They're having the feast on Christmas Day. And I'm like, man, so did they just, what did they eat? All those people there, Christmas Eve. But anyway.
Salami.
What's that?
What did they eat on Christmas Eve?
Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
They held the whole feast over. I wonder what they ate on Christmas Eve.
But, they were so hungry.
Yeah, they're just eating gruel or something. I don't know. But so they're going to try and have the feast again. Mrs. McCutcheon is still being a pill. And Gowan makes a wish.
That was so sweet.
Millie will someday be able to read to him. And that was read the book to him. And that was so cute.
And the world wept.
And then she does. She reads it to him. And it was like, boom. It was so exciting. It was so cute.
Her little voice is so cute.
Yeah. And I guess the reason why she was attached to Gowan was because Gowan looked like her father.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was so cute. And how about
Gowan adopts Millie and Charlotte.
Yeah. What would you think about that, Amber?
I would be fine for that. I was calling for that.
Yeah. Finally, now that she doesn't need how to learn sign language, Miss McCutcheon is like,
thank goodness. Okay.
So I'll sign her over. And then you see Elizabeth in her house with their baby, and she's talking to the baby about Jack, which I thought was so sweet.
So sweet.
Yeah. So adorable. And then Abigail comes in, and she is Elizabeth. Thanks Abigail for helping her. And then says to her that I always imagined it would be wonderful, but not, you know, this wonderful. And so I thought that was really just the epitome of what when calls the heart is.
Mm-hmm.
Was those scenes. Would you agree, Amber?
Yeah, I agree. They were great together. It was awesome. It was so sweet.
Yeah. And so then we get the orphans opening their presents, and that's when we find out that Opal has given Brownie to Millie.
Oh.
And all of Hallmark wept.
Little Opal's growing up.
Yeah. Yep. And we see Claire's dress, which, like I said, I thought was really cool and fun. And we get to see them going to the getting ready to go to the play. So the ballet. So there you go. That's it. That was the Christmas special. And I really liked it. I thought it, like I said, I watched it twice. I thought it was just really, like, warm-hearted and sweet. And they packed so much story. I was never bored watching this. I thought that all the characters had nice moments. I thought they did a good job of dealing with the Jack thing in a sweet and tactful way that wasn't overbearing or heavy-handed. I thought it had moments of fun. I liked pretty much all the subplots. I thought the whole Millie, the orphan things and Henry Gowan, and I liked Clara and Jesse and the ballet things. I liked even things like the salami were fun. And I just really enjoyed it. I was like, wow, this is one of the best things the Hallmark's produced this year.
Agree.
In my opinion. Well, awesome. So we will look forward to the new season starting in February. And we hope to have some good interviews and to dive into the new season. We did get to talk to Andrew Brooks, and that was on Monday, that interview. So If you want to hear her thoughts, check that out. And also the interview with Ava from last week. Check that out. Links in the description if you want to listen to any of our When Calls the Heart content. You can take a look at that. And so there you go. We will have this week our recap of this weekend's 5 movies. This last weekend, we will be talking to the podcasting girls from All the Feels podcast we're talking with them on Thursday. It will air on Friday. And so that should be really, really fun. So something to look forward to. It's like a podcasting, I can't think of dynamic duo thing. It's gonna be really fun. And then next week we are also going to have our recap of the Midnight Kiss, New Year's Eve movie. And we are doing our Winterfest preview with Greg McBride. Look forward to that. The Hall Remark is going to be on that one as well. So lots of fun stuff coming up on the podcast. And so, yeah, let us know what you thought of this movie. Did you like it? How did it rank for you in the other When Calls the Heart movies? And Caroline, thank you so much.
Thank you for asking me.
Amazing. You were just like a trove of knowledge. Great. So thank you so much.
Thank y'all.
Yeah, this is so, we'll definitely have you on again. You were very great. This is so much fun. How can people follow you on social media and all that fun stuff?
On Twitter, it's at Mita Caroline R. And on Instagram, it's MCRichardson3_.
Great. And Amber, how can people find you?
As always, I'm at Amber Brainways on Twitter, and that's it.
Great. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews on iTunes and on YouTube. So check that out. Make sure you're following the podcast all over social media and on iTunes, YouTube. If you can put in your reviews on iTunes and ratings, it really helps us out. Really appreciate it. And thanks again, Caroline. This was so much fun.
Thank y'all.
All right. We'll talk to you all later. Merry Christmas. Bye.
Bye, everybody.